Mostly.
Phil, what would you rate your comfort level right now?
About 13 out of 14 and a half.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, hang on a second. Let me just restart this part.
Okay. Wow, this thing gets really hot. I heard you refer to this connector yesterday. And by the way, we're recording. Phil, this thing that connects the computer to the... You know, what is that docking station thing called?
Oh, yeah, we bought a hub.
Hub,
right? Because you only have one port to your computer.
Yeah. Well, that thing gets really hot.
That's one of the purebred dog things I'm talking about. You know, Macs aren't really built for stuff like this because they don't give you all of the ports.
Well, I don't know what the dog has to do with it.
The dock. Well, what I mean is, you know how people think that you could create a perfectly looking item, and it winds up having so many flaws that it's not very useful in the end. You know, the human concept that somehow dogs could have races, dogs could have breeds, that's an artificial idea. And that's what I mean when it comes to Macs. It's like, let's just shrink everything to one tiny USB-C port and pretend as if your life could be run by that one hole.
Interesting you brought that up yesterday and we're referring to it today. But apparently, Macs are going back to the way they were in 2016 in terms of the what you're talking about. They're making more ports for people and back to the original power supply docking kind of thing. Remember how it used to just kind of magnetize to it?
Oh, yes. Oh, yes.
Anyway, they're going back to that.
And that's because they thought that for simplicity, if you just have one tiny hole, then you could probably make more money by not requiring so many ports.
Yeah, okay.
And so now they thought that now it's a mistake. Now it's a mistake to them.
Hey, Fred, do you want to start the show or do you want to get right to some stuff? Should we start the show officially? The 10th anniversary, of course, brought to us by Dewar. That was last week, and now we're into year 11. We can start the show anytime you want, man.
Let's do it.
Let's. Phil, are you...
Let's be doing it.
All right.
Yeah.
This is this is the guy you golf with, one of your best friends.
Jesus.
He's a grown man. Like, how old is this guy?
60.
The best thing about this, as I said yesterday, is it just goes on for 49 seconds.
I heard some of the shit.
Come on,
while you were golfing?
Come on.
Oh, yeah.
So he just says, come on, ye.
Come on, ye.
Usually when the ball doesn't do what he wants it to.
God.
This is the way he communicates with it.
All right. More ye coming up. But first, here's... Phil.
The following episode of Humble and Fred is brought to you by the Retirement Sherpa, Gig Sky, The Chambers Plan, Health Gauge, Bowdog, and our newest sponsor, D-U-E-R, Dewar, the world's most comfortable pants. If you'd like to talk to Humble and Fred, our Instagram account is Humble and Fred Radio. And now from the remote headquarters of the Humble and Fred Show, here are...
All right. You know, often enough, I communicate with him strictly by text a lot of the times. Once in a while, we get on the phone, but, you know, you spend a lot of time with the guy. What prompted, like, because yesterday that came up in Dan Duran's news in reference to Kanye West changing his name officially, or whatever the story was, to Ye.
Right.
But Darren's yelling, come on, Ye, predates that. It has nothing to do with Kanye.
Oh, it predates the Kanye thing by years. I don't know, Howard. It's one of those things that when you're around someone long enough and it's almost like Tourette's, these outbursts come, you stop asking questions. You just listen to them. Yeah.
Come on, ye.
Yeah.
You know,
he'll do stuff too, like he'll say, that guy over there, I'll tell you right now, if he comes over here, I'm just going to say to him, what the fuck's your problem? Like, that type of stuff. Or anyway, it's it's just, there's a lot of things that go on.
Yeah, and he's quite a character. With him,
and after a while, you don't ask for explanations anymore. It's just part of the landscape.
Mm-hmm. You know, years ago when we began, there was kind of like a running bit for a while, and I think it originated with Darren. Mm-hmm. Oh, hang on a second. What did I do, Phil?
We're currently live on your personal profile.
Well, how do I change that?
You remember Stream to a Page You Manage?
Yeah, I know. So I screwed that up. So stop the live stream. So I start it again?
Yep.
Okay. Sorry, Fred.
Yay! Okay.
Sorry for interrupting this flow to get back on Facebook for the people. Howard Glassman. October. Anyway, years ago, I'll do this while I'm typing. We had this running gag that I think came from October 20th, 2021. Now, is it off my page? Phil?
Let me see. I'll just double check here. Yep.
Okay. I never post anything on my Facebook page anymore. Sorry about that, guys. Okay. So share in your own time. Share to your page. Share to your page. Humble and Fred Radio. Okay. Mm-hmm. And Darren, I believe, was responsible for this. This goes to his state of mind. He was the one that introduced us to this guy.
Oh, yeah.
Do you remember this, Phil? Time, and it's funny, it came up recently. Somebody had mentioned it in a message. I saw it somewhere about this being a big part of the show when we first began, and I was like, yeah, I forgot all about this guy. But this came from Darren for sure.
Well, Darren's too, on people's birthdays, he always sends them really odd, weird pictures or
things. Yeah.
And he just, I don't know, he searches this stuff out or something. And he comes up with it, and he shares it with whoever he can.
Again, I'm not on Facebook very much, but once in a while I'll see Darren wishing a mutual friend of ours, happy birthday, and it's always the most bizarre. They're hard to describe, these pictures. Mm-hmm. Anyway, so getting back to, he'll just walk up, he'll say, I'm going to walk up to that guy and just...
No, I don't know, he just always talks about these scenarios.
I'll tell you. I'll say, what the fuck's going on with you?
And all these... He never does.
Of course not.
But he sets up all these weird scenarios, and it's like, oh, okay. Right on.
I think most people know that he's married. Are they married?
Oh, yes.
Okay. I didn't know. Him and Lori Love, one of this province's great broadcasters. Mm-hmm. Lori and Curtis. Curtis Bray, who I think he was with us just shortly after you left the mix in 2005. And he's gone on to become a very fine broadcaster himself. Does mornings with Lori on a big radio station in Southern Ontario. And, you know, they're definitely friends of the Humble and Fred Show. That's for sure.
Yes. A story that involves Darren and Dan Duran. It was 2003. Darren and Lori got married at a place called Forest Hill Lodge, right on the lovely lake that we inhabit. They got married on the dock, and it was beautiful. And that same weekend, Colton's was baptized in the lake by Dan's dad.
Well, one of those events I was actually at, and the other one I was not.
Was that not the same weekend?
I thought that happened on the same.
Maybe it may. Okay, well, you know, you would, maybe no, my timeline's off.
No, you could. You know, you're probably right. I just wasn't at the wedding. In fact, I don't know why, but for some reason, I just thought they had been living together all these years. But I was at the baptism. Yeah. In fact, I was baptized. Was I baptized? No, Phil. I was. No, I was not baptized. Easy now. I was in the water with Dan's father.
Of course, you were.
I was there while Colton got baptized, and it was a beautiful experience, even though I'm anti-religion, you know.
It really was.
Yeah, it was cool.
It's almost 20 years ago. Okay, the reason I brought that up, because both things, they got married near the lake, and then Colton, your godson, was baptized in the lake. So it may not have, it's almost 20 years ago. So I'm thinking it was the same weekend. Maybe it wasn't. But anyway, two stories of wonderful things that happened on the lake.
Yeah. And it was strange because not really knowing what to expect from a baptism. I know you might have been surprised, but I know I was when Dan's father started singing. You know, when Darren does this yee thing, it sounds like he's taking a dump. Anyway, we talk a lot about Darren, but you know, Darren, I don't think has ever actually... Have we ever talked to him on the show officially, or is he? He's popped on from time to time.
Pardon me?
He may have popped on, but not really.
Yeah, he's come to a few of our Christmas shows, so right. We may have put him on for a few seconds.
Can you give me about 5% more Fred Mike, please? Thank you. Yeah, wow. Man.
Okay.
Tony Clement is on the show today. We mentioned him yesterday. And talking about, like, Tony will know why the premier of the province is now doubling down, they say, in the news, Fred. That, Premier Ford's not walking back his remarks about how he doesn't want the... We don't want the kind of immigrants that'll go on the dole. Apparently, he's the only guy that has no idea how immigration works. But Tony Clement will be here to talk about that and so many other things, including, again, as always, a curiosity about things happening in America. And right now, this whole subpoena, not subpoena thing. I want to see if Tony understands that, because I'm only vaguely sure of what's going on.
I think the primary reason we were having Tony on today was actually going to be about the water situation.
Yeah, of course.
Up north.
Yeah. Yes, I forgot that. Sorry.
As a former federal MP, he could probably address the logistics of what needs to take place to actually, you know, it's interesting. The thing Mike Boone sent us today about the show. Basically saying, you know, you can drink the water, it's not going to hurt you, but they advise you to drink bottled water. Well, can you imagine? I don't care on any level. There's an odor or there's fuel in the water. And again, it always comes back to your kids, right? Can you imagine somebody saying, well, you know, can drink the water. It's really not going to hurt you long term, but, you know, you should probably drink bottled water. Can you imagine someone saying that to you? Like there should be no, like, there's no, to me, there's no gray area.
No, I know.
You can smell fuel, so it's not like, well, it's right. Gonna hurt you.
That's right. You know, yeah. I don't know if you've ever done this as a kid where you siphon gas.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I tried it once, and it's a thing we used to do where you sort of, you get a tube, a rubber tube, and you suck the gas out of somebody's tank into a receptacle to borrow some gas.
Mm-hmm.
Well, my point is, if you've ever tasted gas in your mouth, I don't know. That's not the flavor I'm looking for. And by the way, you're right. I forgot that one of the reasons we were going to get Tony, the main reason was to talk about water delivery to parts of Canada. But it's so ludicrous to say that to people. Oh, no, the water's, it just has a funny taste. And don't smoke after you drink it.
Exactly. In Mike's thing here, it says it's not dangerous to drink, but they're advised to drink bottled water until it's sorted out. It's like, I where he got that line, like, somebody has said that, and it's like, well, you know, just drink bottled water till we sort this out. What, the fuel in our water?
Like, that's right.
Oh, that thing we're just going to sort out?
Or it's probably, you know, just the result of the testing they had. They know the levels now, right? It took them a few days.
Phil, that's not what I'm talking about. I wouldn't give a shit if it was totally minuscule and it would never hurt me for the rest of time. My kid is not taking one sip of that water.
No, exactly.
That's true.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's the point. You know, and these things become so political. That was probably written by some liberal. Well, you know, we'll sort this thing out.
But Nunavut is nonpartisan.
Yeah, we'll figure this out as we go along.
Yeah, we'll figure this out. It's, you know,
all these guys are nonpartisan, so I'm just assuming it's just some wise guy's opinion, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Who are nonpartisan?
Well, the territorial government of Nunavut. They don't have parties up there. Like, federally, they have MPs, but the city officials, everyone up there, they're nonpartisan officially.
All right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
All right. All right.
As I said, it's probably just that one guy saying, you know, it's just a bit of fuel, you know. Mm-hmm.
Well, all I know is it's the jurisdiction of the federal government to make sure those people have clean drinking water. So,
well, and
the buck stops here. You know the old saying, the buck stops here?
Yeah, yeah. And where is the buck stop? Yeah. The buck stops here is where the buck stops.
No,
listen, man, the fact that we're having this conversation is ludicrous.
Absolutely, Howard.
It's ludicrous.
There's been boil water advisories in Ontario for 23 years. That's okay. How bad our system is.
But, Phil, here's the thing. If I wanted to go upstairs right now and pour a glass of water, I'm not going. There's not a warning that says might be flammable.
Right. So there are people who haven't been using their taps since 1998.
I said yesterday, if Rosedale's water was contaminated, it would be fixed by Friday. Mm-hmm. The big issue isn't. I'll tell you what it is. The issue is we're living in this great country. We got a bunch of great things going on. Some of the most freshwater lakes in the world. How is it possible that some of our citizens don't have fresh water? That's all. That's what we're going to talk to Tony about.
And again, I know you say Rosedale to underline the point.
Yeah. But
that would apply to Scarborough or... It's funny, even in this area, where's the one problem where they have ongoing water issues? It's right there in the Brantford area, which still goes on, apparently.
Really?
At a reserve, yeah. Or can you call them reserves anymore? Like, I'm sorry, I didn't... what do you call them?
I don't... I think
these First Nations community? Okay.
Is it not called a reservation anymore?
Yeah. Those are the folks who gave us Mississauga, basically.
All right.
Well.
But, Howard, you nail it when you say, like, that we're having this conversation.
It's so funny. Like, yeah. I you're right. I say Rosedale to underline the problem. If it were Moose Jaw, Scarborough, or Montreal, or someplace, or any place. Here's what I would say. Any place that wasn't First Nations. How about that? Any non-First Nations community in this God-blessed country that didn't have water would have it by Friday.
You just said God-blessed country.
God bless this country, Fred Patterson.
Hypocrite.
God-blessed country where Jesus...
Dear Jesus, can you give our indigenous people water?
And I know, talking about underlining, I know Phil's... sort of campaign here is to just, you know, it's take you know, the focus off the current government and blame it all on many governments. I totally agree, but you know, it's the guy in charge now that you have to look at. We can't go back. We can't get Stephen Harper to do anything about this now.
But as the great grandchild of conservatives, I'm just saying that, you know, Iqaluit has to get their water fixed. That's all. And whoever's...
Is that what you're saying? Interesting.
I'm saying we have problems with our water in general.
The one good thing about the water in that area is you can fill your Zippo with it, right?
That's what I... Yeah. I'm going to have a glass of water. I have to wait 20 minutes before I have a smoke.
But it's true. Right. We talk about Flint, Michigan a lot, but somehow Iqaluit's out of the...
I agree.
But the fact is, most places in this country, you know, I've lived in 5 provinces. Yes, some of those provinces, the drinking water was better than others. But none of it would set your face on fire, Phil. Oh, my God. Let me check my blood pressure using my health gauge watch. Oh, I had a good sleep last night, 7.6. Although my deep sleep is, I need to get that up somehow. Health Gauge, of course, the one of the official sponsors of this Humble and Fred program. Do you know what song I'm playing, Phil? You love CHFI. Yeah, baby.
98.1 CHFI.
Boom. 97.3. Health Gauge, of course, you can get a percentage of your purchase off, 15% off at checkout, healthgauge.com. Use the promo code HumbleFred15. And as I mentioned many times, not only is it a handsome timepiece, but there's so many aspects of it that can actually improve your health. Find out what we're talking about. Go to healthgauge.com. Blood pressure, oxygen saturation, calories burned, it's all there. And 15 points off using the promo code HumbleFred15.
Hey, ladies and gentlemen, the Chambers Plan is Canada's number one plan for group insurance for small business in Canada. 30,000 Canadian businesses are part of this, been around for 40 years. If you've considered, thought about, providing a benefits package for your small company, go to chamberplan.ca today. You can get a free quote. You'll be pleasantly surprised. It's doable. It's affordable. It doesn't matter how big your company is. There is a plan for you, but you must take the time to investigate. Chamberplan.ca. It's right there, a badge. Get a free quote, and you'll be able to find out almost instantly what it's going to cost your company. And again, you'll be pleasantly surprised. Dental and travel insurance and prescriptions, it's all there. You buy in at any level you want. It's fantastic. Chamberplan.ca.
Yeah. Just, I want to talk about something that came up on the show yesterday and didn't really get enough attention because there was a bunch of other stuff going on, and it was right at the beginning of the show. But when I relayed this story to my love, GFR, there was a couple elements to the story. But the second part of the story is that Stan was gone yesterday.
Oh, right.
And I'm not sure if we hit record or was it just before we hit record, Phil?
We had to restart the recording.
And by the way, when I sent you the file yesterday, did both of those files come to you or just the big file?
Just the big file.
Okay. Mm-hmm. So yesterday, I'll tell you the first part of the story. That so when Rachel was spending time here during the initial parts of COVID, when we were all, you remember COVID? You guys remember that when we were like hoarding toilet paper? I was thinking about that recently. You know, it's like all of a sudden we're faced with the apocalypse and everyone was like, oh, we got to get the shit paper. Mm-hmm. You know, human beings are like, well, we can't run out of water and poopy. Anyway, one of the things that came up is, and Rachel was right, as she often is, but I was dragging the bins through the office from my garage to the front, my garbage bins and my recycling and such. Mm-hmm. And she thought that was not great. And I got mad, thinking, what are you talking about? I know what I'm doing. But it was, you know, it was ridiculous. She said, do you want your garbage mm-hmm. juice in your office floors?
Yeah. What are you talking about? I'm saving 50 steps.
No, it was one of those fights where I'm like, even as I was getting mad, I'm like, is this really the argument that I want to? Anyway, so it's become a bit of a running gag with us.
Not winnable.
Not winnable. And she was right. Mm-hmm. So yesterday, it was garbage day, whatever. And it was getting down to the end of, you know, we were going to start the show. And I was like, oh, crap, I better go get this done. And so I quickly, without really thinking, I brought the bins through the office, which I rarely do now. And without really, for the first time ever, Stan somehow just wandered out and I didn't see him. I finished my yogurt. I started talking to you guys. I called Stan. I put my bowl down on the floor. He likes to come and get the yogurt after it's done. And he didn't come. But, you know, sometimes Stan just goes back to sleep. And anyway, if my neighbor, Roots, hadn't come by, she had saw the dog on a street. Like, she was walking her dogs blocks from here.
What? That's where she saw Stan blocks from there?
Yeah.
What?
He was three blocks from here. And he'd been out there for almost a half an hour because I had long since forgot where he was. You know, because when you guys were here, he would often come and visit with you and us. And then when the show starts, he would sit on the couch. But with me, he'll just wander back up and lay in his bed. Anyway, Root said to me that he was three blocks from here. Now, what would have happened is the show would have ended. I wouldn't have known where he was. He would have just been gone. So I just want everyone to know I narrowly avoided losing my stand yesterday.
But, and I mean, you know, have some comfort in the fact that there probably would have been an Amber Alert and he would have been found eventually.
That's right.
Right.
An Amber Alert.
An Amber Bark Alert.
Sir, Amber Alerts do not apply to dogs. Yeah, but this dog is special.
He's my special boy.
And he has high anxiety.
He's
definitely. I can only imagine what he's going through. That's what kills me about him, is that he is so anxious. I would think he would just be outside the door, like, shaking.
I mean, too.
You know? Yeah.
I was so surprised that he wandered away. Because, you know, for a lot of his faults, you know, his anxiousness, his, you know, he's a little bit on the spectrum. But he is two things. Smartest dog I've ever had and doesn't like to wander away. Like when we were at the cottage, you know, he would run and chase a chipmunk, but he always comes back. He's one of those dogs that just wants to be sort of near his pack. And anyway, Rootsy said to me, yeah, he was up two or three blocks away, which surprised me that he hadn't just sort of stayed here near the... Mm. Near the condo,
or and he's already been hit by a car.
Yeah,
to think, you know, who gets hit by a car twice and survives? Come on,
I don't know, man.
That's so, like, it's so dangerous, and
well, especially around here too.
Oh, that's what I'm saying. That's busy.
You know, it's a busy street. Oh, good. Hey, everyone. Dan, at 26 minutes, the mic is crapping out again. Anyway, so that was yesterday. That was at the beginning of the show, and I just couldn't remember if we had been taping when he came back, or I guess we'd stop the taping, but all I'll say is just make sure your dogs are inside when you bring your bins through your house. So I had to tell Rachel. So I had to tell her this story of Stan almost, you know, getting lost. But first I had to tell her I dragged the bins through the house again.
And anyway, we've talked about this before. It makes me think back into the 60s and early 70s. When we had a small dog, Barney, in Scarborough, in the morning, you just open the front door and let them out.
Yeah.
And you know when you let them in? When they came back. Like, it was just something else. And we had a pretty busy street near us called Birchmount, but you just never thought of it. You just opened, the dog wanted out, you opened the door, you let the dog out.
Yeah. And you didn't pick up his duty.
Yeah, nobody does that now.
No one, yeah. No.
No. People do it with cats, obviously, but not dogs. It's just... And is it out of courtesy, or is it almost that whole bubble wrap mentality, too, that we're so afraid for our kids and our animals that you just wouldn't do that?
Well, the street I lived on in Moose Jaw was a little less busy than the Queensway.
Mm-hmm.
You know, our street was the same thing. There were two or three dogs at any given time that weren't yours just wandering around.
But, you know, my daughter's cat, the one before she has now, you know, she lives in a little corner of Georgetown, and her cat get hit by a car on a road with hardly any traffic. So you just never know, right? It's all timing.
Yeah.
It's all timing.
Okay, well, so that's that. There, I know you're... I'm going to bring up this story, and, you know, keeping in mind that Fred and I both have no use for the monarchy, but I find the fact that the Queen refuses to die quite hilarious. And now there's a story, I'm not sure if you're aware of it, Phil. The Queen is apparently accepting medical advice to rest up for a couple of days, you know, from her many duties. I said to myself, how does that conversation go? Well, yes, Queen Mother, we need you to just, you know, back it down for a couple days because you are, you know, nearly 100 years old.
Well, yeah, she did welcome the Governor General of New Zealand on video link, and then she spoke to two other officials on video link, and now she has to rest.
Okay.
Part of that
that's
story,
actually the story.
And part of that story is she's been advised to not drink as much, too.
Pull back on
the wine and spirits. Yeah, apparently. Yeah. They think that she drinks too much alcohol for her age.
Really?
Yeah.
She's 95.
My grandmother, every night before she went to bed, would have a glass of wine. I mean, that was her sedative.
Sure.
Whether it worked or not. But yeah. Listen, she's 94. She seems to have most of her marbles remaining.
95, you know? Freddie. I just said 95.
Okay, 95. Yeah. So... Oh, no. Happy birthday. Did she have a birthday?
And while April. We were talking, she just had a birthday in between the beginning of this talk. Yes.
But they're worried about her drinking. You know, her kids put her through quite a bit.
Yeah.
When you think about it. I mean, what's going on with Andrew now? And, you know, all the Charles crap. It's like, hey.
It says here the doctors... Britain's Queen Elizabeth decided Wednesday to rest for the next few days on advice from doctors. They said to her, we need you to rest for the next few days and then die. If like at some point, this is my favorite part. The Queen has reluctantly accepted medical advice to rest for the next few days. Her Majesty's in good spirits and is disappointed she'll no longer be able to visit Northern Ireland. I guess she was going to go on a trip where she'd been due to undertake a series of engagements today and tomorrow. She looks forward to going back there in the future. She also looks forward to making it through the weekend. Jesus. 95. Listen, if you're still drinking enough booze at 95 that your doctors are saying, hey, you might want to slow down. I don't know. I don't know if I'd cut back.
No, her job is literally like the head of state of 16 different countries. I'm sure she probably says, fuck off, and then she takes like a bottle of wine or something.
Yeah, that's what she does.
Yeah.
What does she do, Phil?
Yeah.
I say, yeah.
Hey, what is the conversation like between her, a 95-year-old, you know, you said head of state of 16 countries, one of the most... you know, famous and rich people on earth, the conversation she has with Andrew about the Epstein scandal, like, do they?
She says they don't have that conversation.
You don't think?
No,
I'm being serious.
No,
now.
I know, like, you are. They don't have that conversation.
But that's
you
her son. Like, Andrew, like, what do you have to tell your mother? What is the truth? That type of thing.
Yeah, I don't know.
Because that's got, I don't care what age, that's got to cause a lot of anguish with a parent.
No, I'd say. But I mean, think about what she's been through. She came to the throne in 1952 at the age of 25 years old. The things she's seen.
Uh huh.
Her husband died recently.
Right.
Prince Charles, who's been waiting to be king, he's 72.
I know.
Like, what? How? What about that conversation? We've had this talk before. Where, like, why hasn't he said, Mumsy, why can't I become the king now, please?
What is that? Because the thing is, so she lives to be, say, 100. That's 5 years from now. Yeah. He's 77. So then she dies, so he becomes king at 77. What if he lives to 97? Like, so the monarchy is going to be headed by, like, a super senior citizen for, like, decades.
Yeah.
You know, do you think he'll just pass it over to William? You'd think he would.
Prince William is 39 years old. Well, the thing is, at some point, she has to pass on. Either she retires.
I think she's going to die someday.
Yeah. But you know what, man? If you get to 95, there's a pretty good chance you're going to get to 105.
Mm-hmm.
I think so. I just, by the way, I don't know. I just made that up.
Mm-hmm. And listen, 97, 20-some-odd years ago, whatever that is, 24 years ago would be 1997, right? So she was in her late 60s, 70s when she engineered the death.
When she had Diana killed, yeah.
Yeah, when she had Diana killed. So it's like she's lived with that, too.
Sure, the guilt.
The guilt, maybe the drinking is from the guilt. And now with Andrew being a sexual, like a predator. Like
First you married Fergie, then...
A pedophile. Like, that's a lot.
It's a lot
somebody.
On her plate.
She's thinking, boy, maybe I shouldn't have killed Diana. Maybe things would have worked out differently.
You know, what I understand, though, is really weird is that she likes to take tequila shots. And what she'll do is she does that thing where you lick your hand, you put the salt on it and the lemon, then she just takes a shot.
Yeah.
And gets her goony.
Pass me the Jäger bomber.
Look at Phil. Phil can't stop doing it. I said. And these are literally the worst British accents.
I said. You shagged who? I said.
I'm taking a shot now from Diana.
Your Majesty, here is how we plan to kill Diana. It needs your approval. What do you think of this plan?
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. That's
right. Oh, absolutely. We can't. Yeah, that's when it all began.
She'll drive into a tunnel, and then another car to smash into the side of it.
That idea.
I like it.
now she's Dick Van Dyke from Mary Poppins. I said, that's right, I like it. The Queen spent Tuesday night hosting a drinks reception at Windsor Castle for Bill Gates. See, there, it's always with the booze. She was doing Jäger bombs and tequila shots with Bill Gates and Prime Minister Boris Johnson. Mm-hmm. They convened a green investment conference. Anyhow.
See, another MP was murdered on the streets. Don't know the guy's name, but like a member of parliament in Britain,
yeah,
walking down the street, and a guy comes up and starts knifing him, and he's and it's like the second one in the past five years. And just shocking. Like, what if that happened, you know, that Pierre Laporte thing back during the Quebec crisis? But imagine if that happened in Canada. Like, that's frightening when elected officials are attacked like that.
Yeah, well, you guys just add, you know, goes to the conversation we've had, and maybe we can have it with Tony a little bit, but, you know, why anyone would ever put themselves forward to serve the public nowadays, I don't know. Mm-hmm. You know, and not just that extreme case, but all the criticism and all the aggravation.
I wonder if Tony's ever met the Queen. We should ask him that. There's a chance he could have met the Queen.
Absolutely. I mean, I don't think people realize, like, they think I'm kidding when I say Tony was assistant prime minister, but he was close. Yeah. Mm-hmm. He's probably met the Queen. Maybe he's done, who knows? Tony had a wild side. Maybe he was doing, you know, scotch and throwing back, what are those called? I used to drink those. What do they call that? A Boilermaker.
Oh, yeah?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Hey, speaking of booze, our friend Ivor Hamilton had some information for us yesterday on Facebook. We were talking about, or you were talking about how you, well, I guess both of us, how you can buy booze at certain times at Sobeys. And you thought you could only buy booze at Sobeys during the time that the
beer store's open?
Yeah. Ivor says he was at a Sobeys and bought beer at 7 in the morning. So they've changed some of those rules. According to Ivor Hamilton.
Oh, wow.
Ivor Hamilton. By the way, I love the play about Ivor. Fantastic. I haven't seen it, but everyone was raving about it.
What's that?
Hamilton. Ivor Hamilton. Oh, yeah, it's fantastic. On Broadway, all that stuff. Haven't seen it, but hear great things.
That's encouraging news. Again, another step forward. And again, I know, whatever you think of Doug Ford, if he's done anything, he's sort of relaxed our archaic liquor laws in this country on some level.
In this province, I mean.
And why shouldn't you be able to buy some beer at 7 in the morning? Of course, you know, the beer store's not going to be open at 7 in the morning. So for convenience, why not have it available? So that's great. Well, I wasn't aware of that. Fantastic.
Hey, Fredster, but that is the key. That word you just used is the key. It's convenient.
Yeah.
Once you're of an age to be responsible enough to take care of yourself in this world, if you want to buy beer on the way to the cottage, or you just want to buy beer at 7 in the morning when you're shopping.
Mm-hmm.
This weird puritanical Ontario, you know, society. When I moved here, there was no Sunday shopping. 1989, there was still no Sunday shopping.
And I think under the Liberals, you know, they allowed the agency stores, which was pretty cool in the North Country.
Yes.
So if you own a little general store, you could apply for an agency store and sell beer, and, you know, limited beer and wine because you don't have the space, obviously, but that was a big step forward, too. It just made so much sense at the time because there was a time, say you had a cottage, it might be a 20-mile drive or something to the closest beer store, where now, convenience, you can just go to a, like a general store, an agency store.
And out west, Dan Gold, one of our buddies, I just quickly saw the Facebook feed. Dan says the alcohol rules and retail are still so different here. And by here, I think he means Saskatoon. I'm gonna leave this page. So, Phil, just have a look and see if Dan comes back. But in Saskatchewan and Alberta, it's very much like the Americas where you can now buy, or have not just now, but you can buy alcohol, you know, privately, you know, which isn't a bad
thing. Dan says he does mean Saskatchewan.
Okay. Well, Dan Gold, by the way, one of the Humble and Fred, you know, supporters, very good man. Always love hearing from Dan. I'll tell you what, Dan would look good wearing some Duer, D-U-E-R.ca, official sponsors of the 10th anniversary of the Humble and Fred Show. Pretty excited to be wearing this stuff. Look, Phil, there's your giant t-shirt. One day you should get it.
Lovely.
It's Galactica. The Performance Denim Slims, the No Sweat Pant Slims. And t-shirts, of course. I got a pair of these pants, and I didn't really realize at the time that they were what they were. I just thought they were cool looking. They're called Live Free Adventure Pants, and they are the perfect slacks for when I go on my trip because they've got zippers everywhere. You know, they're the kind of great traveling pants. And now you can get 15% off if you go to doer.ca, put in the promo code HumbleAndFred15. Humble and Fred 15 gets you 15% off the world's most comfortable pants. Freddie?
Yes, bodog.eu/sports. Ladies and gentlemen, tonight at the Scotiabank Arena, your Toronto Raptors play their first game of the season. Which is, I like the Raptors, you know, they have guts, unlike the hockey team that inhabits the same place. The Raptors are favored to win their home opener, their season opener. They play the Washington Wizards. The Wizards pay $120 to win. All right, so you can play the game on Bodog, bodog.eu/sports. All the sports are there, you know, the baseball playoffs, NHL hockey. The Habs, by the way, now 0-4 to start the season. They got beat 5-0 last night. By the San Jose Sharks. Whether you're a sports bettor, a horse racing fan, a poker or casino player, Bodog is your number one source of online gambling entertainment. From their industry-leading odds, world-class sports book, and feature-rich poker room to their fully loaded casino and race book, they've been providing Canadian players with an unparalleled gaming experience since 1994. To get right to it, to wager on the sport of your choice, bodog.eu/sports.
You know, without getting into a big hairy discussion about how ridiculously backwoods and back whatever, how dumb the Americans are, and they really are. I could have played you the audio from this ad for a woman is running for governor of Nevada, and she's got a gun on her. She's a fucking gun, and she's shooting things and fake this and the virus and I'm coming for you, Biden. And she puts her hand on her holster. Anyway, here in Canada, 88.5% of Canadians 12 plus have received at least one dose. 83% of Canadians 12 plus. 83% of this country is fully vaccinated. Meanwhile, down there in dum-dum land, they're having the, you know, this is a two-parter. One, they were conflating Colin Powell, as you said at the end of the show yesterday. Colin. Mm-hmm. 84-year-old guy with compromised cancer and being 84 and his immune system was compromised, was fully vaccinated, but those dum-dum down there are saying, oh, see, he was vaccinated and he got COVID. But anyway, I mean, I'll let you comment on that before I play this audio.
Yeah, I know. He was 84 years old. And people that are double vax are actually going to die. And sometimes it's going to be COVID-related. We know that. Just like we know if you're double vaccinated, you can get it and you can still pass it along. Like, how often do you have to, like, to what lengths do we have to go to explain to these people? We know that. The bottom line is, you're not going to get as ill, and chances of hospitalizations and death are wildly depleted. Look at Ontario yesterday. Again, under 400 cases as we get into the fall. This thing is taking hold. It's working for us.
Right.
Like, case closed.
And that's
there
why
there are going to be victims.
And that's why I started with those numbers. The number of COVID cases now in Canada, the whole country yesterday, and that includes dumb Alberta, parts of dumb Saskatchewan. Still, with all of that, 21, and we mentioned this yesterday. Remember, the minority, the big mouth dumb minority, are the anti-vaxxers because of the vaccination rates in Canada, we're down to 2,100 cases yesterday. Mm-hmm. All of this is leading to this story, and maybe you can help me set it up, because I've got the audio of Charles Barkley reacting to Kyle Irving. This is the TNT show, because you mentioned the NBA, right? The Raptors are playing. So what I understand is Kyle Irving with the Brooklyn Nets has refused to get vaccinated. You told me this story. What I didn't know is he is also going to get paid his $17 million salary while he refuses to play.
No, Howard. He's got a $31 million salary. He's only going to get paid $17 for road games.
Oh, I see.
The thing is, he cannot play in the state of New York. And Brooklyn is in New York State, as you know. You know, part of me, that story is, here's the, he's living with the consequences. It's like he had a decision to make, and he's making it, and it's costing him $17 million. Bottom line, I think he's stupid for not getting the vaccination, but here are the rules. If you choose not to get the vaccination, then you are choosing not to play in the state of New York. He's living with that. So, like, part of me actually accepts that. You know what I mean?
Well, it
does. You know what I'm getting at?
No, yes. I get what you're getting at. Yes. But if your principles, if you can turn down 14, I don't care how much money you're worth, it's $14 million dollars. You're willing to say, I won't take $14 million because of this ridiculous. And again, it's not even a matter of, he's comparing himself to Ali, which is fucking ridiculous.
Yes.
Because Muhammad Ali, Cassius Clay at the time, went to jail because he wouldn't go to Vietnam to fight people that he had no problem with, according to him. Anyway, yes. I really like Charles Barkley. I don't know what you think of him, but I've always liked Charles Barkley. I liked him as a player. I like him as a personality. He was on this Golf Channel series for a year. I watched every episode. Him trying to get better at golf was pretty funny. But I like him because he's not a dummy. Listen, hang on a second. Let me get rid of the music. He's not a dummy, this Charles Barkley guy. And here he is talking about Kyle Irving's situation.
Your buddy over here is grimacing, Chuck.
First of all, you don't get the vaccine for yourself. You get it for other people.
No, I'm not saying.
Hold on, first. You said your piece. No,
I didn't say you do.
I got vaccinated. I can't wait to get the booster. You don't get vaccinated just for yourself. Like Adam said, you get vaccinated for your family first. You get vaccinated for your teammates second. Things like that. That's what bothers me about this whole thing. I think everybody should get vaccinated. Let me tell you something. I really am proud of the Nets for putting their foot down, for saying, no, we're not going to deal with this half on, half off. The only thing that bugged me, he's still going to make $17 million sitting at home. I wish they could find a way. If he wants to go on this thing, like, you know, people say he's like Ali. First of all, don't ever compare anybody to Ali. Ali went 3 years without boxing. He was the highest paid athlete in the world. This guy going to make $17 million for sitting at home. But to every person out there, you don't get vaccinated just for yourself. Let's get that out the way.
There you go. How about that? And you know what I like about that, too, is that it's Charles Barkley who has a standing in that community. And that community I'm referring to is the black community, which have been, to a degree, sort of scared away from getting vaccinations. We brought this up the other day, and that's a part of the population that doesn't trust, government and authority. And it's good that a guy like Charles Barkley is saying, get vaccinated. I did it. Do it for your family. Do it for other people.
And, you know, he's sticking his neck out there because remember the whole anthem thing with the NFL? a lot of the rednecks turned on the NFL and a lot of the NFL representatives and said they would never watch the NFL again, and television ratings went down. You know, those same rednecks love their basketball. He's, you know, he's sticking his neck out there because he could now be the target for a lot of those anti-vaxxers.
But the great thing about Barkley, he doesn't care. He just doesn't care. No, I know.
But you know, the easiest thing is to just stay quiet. And to his credit, he doesn't want to do that.
Well, here's another person that doesn't like to stay quiet. This is another man that sticks up when adversity knocks on his door. As I mentioned, he was once the Minister of Health for Ontario. That's a fact. And I believe he was the Assistant Prime Minister for a period of time. At least the first runner-up, but whatever.
Well, he did, because whenever you saw him on television in those days, he had an A on his suit.
Exactly.
Yeah.
He was the only one. If there was a penalty and Harper wasn't on the ice, he was the only one allowed to go talk to the referee. Please welcome back to our program the host of And Another Thing podcast. It's Tony Clement.
Thank you very much.
You know, hey, by the way, first of all, thanks for your kind wishes, your warm wishes, your well wishes. For our 10th anniversary.
Part of the joke was kind of mislaid because it was audio, but I was actually wearing a Habs jersey and a Habs cap. So.
Oh, I see.
Hey, to how's torture your team them. Doing this year, Tom?
It's doing pretty freaking lousy. Thanks for asking.
Oh, that's great.
You know, I'm so evil. It's like last night I was tired. I was golfing. I walked the course, so I went upstairs, laid down about 9 o'clock. I'm checking sports scores, and I see the Habs are down 4-0, so I immediately put it on the radio. I did, and I laid in bed and listened to the Habs losing. It was glorious.
I think they call that in enjoying the misfortunes of others.
But listen,
like
they had the last lap. Hey, have you ever met the Queen, Tony? Have you ever met the Queen?
Yeah, a couple times. Yeah.
What was that like?
Okay, hang on one second. go ahead. What was it like, and did you guys do shots?
Howard, I just didn't want to forget asking.
No, no. But I wanted to get back to the fact that you take such joy when the Habs. Okay. Yeah. Like, you, Fred's into this whole thing now. I'm not watching the Leaf game until April. But he takes such joy and comfort when the Habs lose. He was telling me this morning.
It's part of the rivalry, though.
Right.
That, you know, that we do this.
But there's that German word, Schadenfreude or whatever.
Yes, Schadenfreude, yeah.
Schadenfreude, however you pronounce it. You know, leave it up to the Germans to come up with a word for other people's suffering. Anyway, but there's something between you Hab and Leaf guys. It's always there, right?
It's always
even
there
if your team loses, generation. As long as the other team loses, it's all
right. That's right. Yeah, that's right. You salt their ground.
Yeah, exactly.
And that's why I'm having trouble watching them because, listen, I'm used to the Leafs losing playoff series. Like, obviously. But that one last year against that team when they should have won it just stung so hard that I can't get over it. I can't get beyond it. I just can't.
Yeah, no, one of the things that Habs people were posting on Twitter was the list of sports commentators who had, you know, the Leafs in 4 and then, you know, Winnipeg in 5 and the Vegas Knights in 5. And each time they'd be proven wrong. So that was kind of fun.
Listen, I often listen to TSN Montreal. They have a good lineup of people there. They really do. And they do a great job with the Habs. I'll tell you, they do better than here. But a lot of the guys there leading into that series that worked for TSM Montreal, a few of them picked the Leafs in 4, and I think most of it was Leafs in 5. Like, even they expected it.
No, it was a fairy tale time, and I desperately wanted to go to a game. I'll tell you, I mean, I desperately, you know, I was looking, you know, but it was like 3,500 people, and it was season ticket holders, and I thought, and my wife was saying, why do you care? You can go next year, though. No, this could be lightning in a bottle. It may not happen again for another generation. Mm-hmm. You know, that's the way hockey is.
Yeah, that's what it was. That's what it was. That's what it was.
She's a pretty nice girl, but she changes from day to day. You ever get drunk? Make a move on Liz? She's a pretty nice girl, someday I'm gonna make a mind. So, okay, so we were talking about the Queen and the fact that her doctors are saying, hey, maybe you want to rest up a little bit. After all, you are 95. What were the circumstances under which you met her? Did she have booze on her breath?
Mm-hmm. latter answer is no. When I was a cabinet minister in Ontario and Canada, there'd be a royal visit, and sometimes it would be the Queen, and there'd always be an opportunity to bow and to greet her.
So what is that like? I know he's going to hate that, but that's just how you do it, okay?
I know.
You can't bow to another person.
Mike,
all right, Cartman. But but here's the thing. Does somebody say to you, Tony, this is your first time? Let's talk about your first time.
Yeah.
Somebody says, Tony, this is your first time meeting Her Majesty. As we all know, she had Diana killed, but let's not bring that up.
Uh-huh. Right.
That's a given. Obviously, that's off the table. Mm-hmm. Like, no one has to say, don't mention she killed Diana, because everyone knows. Mm-hmm. Does somebody practice you or rehearse you in what you have to do?
Yeah, there's a protocol officer that goes through the rundown. You know, this is the way it's going to work. She's going to be talking to you, then talking to the next person, then talking to the next person. And it's kind of like my wife gets, she's such a royalist. It's unbelievable. Like, my wife is really big on this. It wasn't a big deal for me, I'll be honest with you. She's a nice lady, and I know constitutionally the role that she plays, but it's not a big thing for me to meet royalty.
Now, you were born in the United Kingdom, right?
I was born in Manchester.
Manchester. So
was your wife as well, or is she Canadian?
No, she's Canadian.
She's a big monarchist?
Yeah, huge.
You know, Mrs. Tony can do what she wants, you know?
I know she can, but it's hard for me. So if it's not a big deal to you, does any part of you think, you know, I got to bow down to this person that really just was born into this position? And I know I would probably in the end do it too, Howard, because I wouldn't want to, like,
you're a grown man.
Deal out of it.
No, you don't want to be impolite. Right?
No, exactly. Yeah.
But any part of you, does that, because that would bother me. Like, I would, people that achieve something, like somebody like you, an elected official, you achieve.
Oh, so you're saying when you meet Tony, you're going to bow down to Tony and curtsy?
Hey, we're having lunch on Friday. I will curtsy when I enter the restaurant.
Tony, by the way, thank you for the invitation. I can't make it Friday because I'm doing client relations, trying to keep this thing going.
You're taking care of business. GCD.
I'm going golfing with one of our clients and one of my friends who happens to be a client. Okay, so back to the rehearsal. So I know you say there's a protocol officer, but I've watched movies. Is there a thing where just before you meet her, somebody runs through and says, okay, let's pretend, like, do bow down? Do you look her in the eye? Are you told not to make eye contact? Are you told not to touch her? What are you told?
Yeah, I think they go through a whole list, basically.
So, you don't shake her hand. She just walks up to you and goes, hello.
And she has to speak first. You have to wait for her to speak first.
So what did she say to you? What do you remember what she said?
I don't remember because it's not a big deal.
Wait a minute. So it goes that far. Like, you couldn't walk up and say first, hello, Your Majesty.
No, you can't.
No. Oh, no, you gotta wait for her to speak.
Oh, come on. Well, you have the same rules. I tell people when you meet Fred.
About a royal screw up that I created.
Yes, please.
Yes.
Hello, did you screw up royally?
With William and Kate. Is that their names? William and Kate.
Sure. Yeah,
you met them too?
Oh, yeah.
Okay. Well, now we're talking.
So anyway, I was invited. They were in Canada for Canada Day. And I was in the nation's capital the same time. So they had a big thing in front of Parliament, the Parliament buildings, and they were there, part of there. And I was invited to watch the fireworks with them from the roof of one of the Canadian government buildings and to watch the national fireworks. So, that's pretty cool. You know, I brought my wife, I brought my daughter. They were very excited. You know, me, meh. But, it was exciting for them. So we're up there on the roof, and I took a picture of the fireworks in the background and the backs of William and Kate in the foreground, and said, you know, we're enjoying the fireworks. And I posted it, and oh my God, the trouble I got in, because it was taking a picture without their approval. And the worst people on me getting on my case were Canadian media.
Oh yeah,
because they weren't allowed to take pictures, but I took this I took this picture. It was just like a nice picture.
Sure,
there was nothing wrong with it.
Innocent.
The Prime Minister tore me apart.
Come on,
half a day. Oh yeah, oh yeah.
Like, and how does that go? How does that work? He's like, hey Tony, can you come in the office for a second? And then he shuts the door, and you're like, oh shit, I'm in trouble with the Prime Minister.
How did that conversation go? What did he say?
He said, Tony, you're not supposed to take pictures of the royal family without the approval, okay? I'm sorry.
No, but what does Harper get mad at you? Doesn't talk to you for a half a day? What does he do?
Well, he was quite firm, he didn't yell and scream or anything. Harper doesn't do that.
Right.
But he made his displeasure known.
Well,
because he was getting flack, too.
Sure. Mm-hmm. Okay.
Although Kate from the back isn't too bad, I'll tell you.
No, listen, and I don't want to get into it, but you know, pictures have not always been kind to Tony. Anyway, listen, let's be fair. That wasn't the worst picture. Let me ask you a question, and you came up on our show as you often do, because and again, respectfully, you know, jokey jokes aside, and us making noises and such, but you really are and have become not only a friend of ours, but someone that we look to for counsel, because you've been in the room, like that Bolton book. You know, you've been in the room where it happened, and you've been part of decisions. You've observed decisions being made. And so we are curious, and we've had this conversation before, but it came up with the, I want to make sure I'm saying it right, Phil, water that has gasoline tinged,
right.
You know, whatever. And the question is, how can this happen? Hey, why don't we ask Tony? Because not only has he been in the rooms, but he's been Minister of Health.
Well, and further to that, my question is, I'm looking, and I could be wrong. I've been wrong. I was wrong on the beer at Sobeys. I haven't seen the Prime Minister address this yet. And he's the big Indigenous guy, you know. In 2015, that was his big, one of his big platform things.
Which, to be fair to the guy, is nothing wrong with that.
No.
At least he mentioned it, because a lot of prime ministers, as Tony said, you can be elected in this country by not talking about the Indigenous problem.
Right. Right.
So I'm not sure that's the case now.
It's not the case now because he's in charge. The buck stops there. And like, what's going on? Like, as I said, why isn't there several military cargo planes landing there daily with bottled water?
Yeah, there obviously has to be a response. I don't know what caused it. But again, the problem is in so many Indigenous communities. First of all, and this is an explanation, not an excuse. I want to make that clear. This is not an excuse. Nothing excuses this. But the explanation is we have 632 isolated Indigenous communities spread over, 2 million square miles or whatever the country is. And so historically, governments have been terrible at delivering services all across this nation. And many of these communities, you can only get to them by plane. So to be able to build water plants and keep them running in these disparate communities has proven to be difficult, if not impossible. So that's the explanation. It's not excuse.
Right.
The Trudeau government got elected 6 years ago yesterday with the promise of fixing the water problems in our Indigenous communities. They put $2 billion in to do that. And in the last 6 years, they made progress in some communities, although the Auditor General was very critical because they basically called it sort of stopgap and Band-Aid rather than long-term solutions. And you still have half the communities with boil water advisories.
So, and Tony, and I was going to say, just jumping in, as you say, there's not an excuse, but there is an explanation. We're not, and I've been using this hyperbole about if it happened in Rosedale, if it happened in Moose Jaw, but where some of these communities are, it's not absolutely cut and dried flying in a cargo plane into some small community. But it is a question that begs asking, that at least fellow Canadians should have access to clean water, and if not, 100%. And if not, cheap bottled water.
Yeah, no, 100%. And, some of these communities are not you know, in the far north. In my riding, I had a community mm-hmm. of First Nations that had boil water. So this is something that is all around us.
Wasn't there a problem in the Niagara region at one of the?
Yeah.
Can you still call them reservations? We were asking about that. Is that cool, or what do you call
reserves,
them?
Indigenous communities? Yeah. Oh, okay. Reservation is an American term.
And I get, when I talk about the cargo planes, I'm talking about this isolated incident where, you know, Trudeau is quite the showman. Like, why is he not up there, you know, handing out water? Like, I just don't understand.
Well, because his handlers would say him handing out water only accentuates his inability to get the job
to
done.
Fix the problem. Yeah. No, but listen, I'm with Fred on this, though. You know, where I differ is, listen, the guy said what he said in 2015. He's not the first politician to go, I'm going to fix this. And then 6 years later, I'm still trying to fix it. As, you know, the kind of guy he is, you'd think he'd be all over this as a photo opportunity to at least, especially since he completely botched the Truth and Reconciliation Day.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, anyhow,
that was bad. I heard, you know, our friend Darren said yesterday, if Gord Downie had still been alive, he would have made a big deal of that day.
He would have gone up one side of the prime minister and down the other side, 100%.
Yeah, because, no, you know, but I'm saying Trudeau probably would have made sure that he was making all these appearances on that day if Gord Downie was still alive.
Oh, I see what you're saying. Because can I say this about, you know, the last concert? It kind of sickened me in my stomach to see Trudeau there at the last concert in Kingston. And look, Gord Downie, I think he played it 100% right. He said, we got the prime minister here. He's making some promises. We got to give him the time to deliver on those promises. But which is fair. Like, Gord played it straight. But, you know, let's face it. The prime minister was cashing in on Gord Downie's moment. But that's just how I reacted on that.
And fair enough. That being said, it was... You know, if you were the prime minister, Tony Clement was the prime minister, and they said, hey, would you like to be at the last Tragically Hip concert ever as a proud Canadian supporting the band? And, of course, you're going to get some political capital out of it. You couldn't say no to that opportunity, but as you say...
Harper would say no.
He'd say, I'll
have a private meeting with Gord Downie.
Sure.
Just he and I, but I'm not going to be out there in public.
Well, with Harper, it would have been Tommy Hunter's last...
Bono wanted to have a big public meeting with Harper, and he said no. I said, I'll have a private meeting with Bono, but I won't have a public meeting.
Tony, we're going to let you go here in a second. Dan Duran's news is coming up. We just wanted to check in with you because of this water situation. And again, thank you for your support. Like, I hope there's another opportunity to have lunch with you in Brampton. I know you and Freddie are going to be.
Yeah, sure.
By the way, my schedule is free from the middle of November to March. So let's get back together that golf season. What?
Howard, we would be remiss if we didn't ask him to balance things off. And just quickly. Would Doug Ford have been better off shutting his mouth with the immigrant thing? Why not just say, we need immigrants, come on in, there's lots of work to do? Why would he have to attach, we don't want the people on the dole?
That was a
huge mistake. Was it like, why bother?
It was a little mistake. It's not a huge mistake, but he should have said it better. There's no question.
Well, it was a little mistake, but he's not taking it back. I'm looking at the news today.
No, he's doubling down.
He's doubling down. He won't walk back. Because in spirit, what he's saying, and we've got a friend here, Phil, who's recently brought somebody to this country, and I can tell you from the... What's that, Phil? I'm sorry, Phil's just making some noise.
Yeah. I'm making noises now.
But the point that Phil's made, and we've observed through Phil's arduous, it ain't easy to immigrate to Canada.
No.
You know, you're not coming here just, just give me the welfare.
But the schooling of a politician, sometimes things are better left unsaid. And is that not a perfect example? Because if he had just said, hey, we need workers, Ontario's open, we want to bring immigrants in to share this beautiful province, it would have been a beautiful thing. And then to add that on, even though a lot of people agree with it, I listened to a lot of talk radio yesterday, and it was a lot of immigrants phoning in, actually supporting it, and giving the stories about how their parents came to the country.
Sure.
It was better. It would have been a lot better if he hadn't.
And by the way, Doug Ford being a populist.
Well, and Tony, the reason immigrants would be supporting that notion is because of what I just said. It's hard to get into this country. They had to work to get into Canada, and they had to and to have support systems in place. And it seems not only was it a dumb thing to say, it seems sort of like, what, you didn't know that? Tony, quickly, before we let you go, two questions. Did you ever meet Colin Powell? Secondly, who names their kid Colin?
No, I never got to. I met a lot of U.S. politicians and folks, and I never met him. But big loss. That was sad to see that. Yeah. I've met President Obama. I've met John McCain. A bunch of people I've met.
What about Obama?
Would be wild.
Yeah. Back to the Queen thing? Is there a protocol, an advance? Like, by the way, when you meet the president,
No. It was at the G8 in Muskoka,
right? Yeah.
So Marine One lands at Deerhurst Golf Course, in the middle of the course, in the middle of the fairway. He steps out. Takes a look around. You know, he's the president. He can take as much time as he wants. He meanders over to the receiving line, starts shaking some hands, and the mayor was there, Mayor Huntsville, and a few other protocol folks. And then he gets to me, and I said, well, you know, welcome to my district, Mr. President. He says, yeah, I kind of like your district. I should be back here for golf someday. And I said, well, you'd always be welcome. You and Mrs. Obama would always be welcome. So we had this kind of exchange. It was nice.
Yeah. I would bow to him. I would bow to him and not think twice of it. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, he's kind of 6'3" or something, so you'd have.
But you wouldn't have to bow. You'd be already bowing. You'd be like, "Hello, Mister." Would you bow to? Would you bow to?
We need to play the would you bow game.
No, I'm just trying to think of a leaf.
To my wife, yes.
No, yeah. You bow to Dahl every day.
Yeah. Yes.
The only time Fred gets religious is every time he wakes up, he sees this woman he's married to. He says, "Oh, thank you, Jesus. I don't know how he did it.
I'm not worthy."
I would bow to Tiger. If Tiger walked in this door right now, I'd get down on the floor. I'd be, "Oh, sorry, Tiger."
Well, if Tiger could walk anywhere, that'd be a miracle.
Yeah, man. Listen, don't bring up a hurtful. Tony Clement is already getting ready for his next podcast and another thing podcast. It releases, I think, once a week. I'm not 100% sure.
Yeah, we just released one yesterday.
Very nice.
So please listen. It's a banter episode. So just me and Jody chewing the fat.
Well, you know, sometimes, right, with a guy like you, you got such great stories and insights. I was just, you don't need guests, really. It's just you. Tony Clement, thank you again for your service to this country and to this podcast, my friend.
And keep doing it, you guys. You're just an honor to be part of this because you guys are basically inspiration to so many podcasters. Seriously.
Well, thank you, Tony. Thank you very much. Just quickly, just a mechanical question. Who is buying lunch on Friday? Is it the Humble and Fred Show or is it Tony Clement, massively wealthy politician?
Well, I'm going to do the washroom thing. The bill will come.
Oh, damn it! That's what washroom. I was going to do.
Yeah.
You and I will both be in the washroom looking at each other, each other down.
Be washing our hands.
That's right. I'll just slow. I'll tell you one thing, though. No one is going to slow roll you back to that bill slower than this guy. All I want to know this, Fred, is if Tony pays, can he just give me like $22 because I wasn't there? Just send me a e-transfer for $22.50? Because I would have had like a salad, maybe a side of fries. All right, Tony. Thanks, man.
Thanks, guys.
There's Tony Clement. Our Gigs Guy guest of the day there, Freddie. Do you want to do it or do you want me to do it? I'm ready, but you can do it.
You go ahead. Go ahead.
All right, because H9VBDZ is standing by. Old H9. He hasn't figured out how to change the name on his Zoom meeting yet. H9V.
Oh, I think he does. I think he just loves this whole bit.
Gigs Guy's latest service. Oh, look, Dan's getting ready there in his new home at his paddle lodge.
Yeah.
Dan Duran, hang on. Gigs Guy offering the latest service, including mobile data while flying. I think I mentioned on the show yesterday, I'm going to Italy for 10 days with GFR next month, and I'm definitely going to take the gig sky with me. You can, too, when traveling on selected airlines. Go to gigsky.com/aeromobile to see the list of partner airlines. Download the app for Android or iOS and get affordable data coverage in over 190 countries worldwide. Mm-hmm. And right now, enter the code HF2021 for $5 off your first plan. Or visit gigsky.com for more information. H9 is here. Take a little.
You know, Howard, you asked Tony who names their kid Colin. I only knew one kid named Colin, just one. He was part of the Oscopy family who lived a couple of streets over.
Yeah, I felt bad for that, you know. That was, they had their one kid, Colin, their other child, Anus. And and I think the little one was called Poohole. So, you know.
I don't think Howard got that by joke.
I'm sorry, I didn't hear it. I was only paying half attention. What would you say? Say it again.
I don't even want to say it again. Say you can't it again. Say jokes twice.
Say the twice jokes.
I only knew one kid named Colin. He was part of the Oscopy family a couple of streets
oh,
over.
Oh, the Oscopy. So I didn't get that. That's very good.
Yeah. Now would you explain it, Fred?
Yeah. So
explain the joke, please.
Why don't you change the name on your Zoom thing? Just change it to Dan Duran. Or do you want to continually be known as H9V?
Totally forgot about changing. I was going to.
Well, you can do it right now. You just click on it. You just hold your mouse over it. You just click on it. Fred, I apologize. That was a very, very good joke. Colon, Oscopy. Mm-hmm. Very fine bit of humor,
you
right?
Know, the
there.
Oscopy family.
The Oscopy family, right?
Yeah.
But you see, when I was listening to you, I was also looking at something else, and I thought you were actually talking about one of your Scarborough families, you know?
Yeah, I was.
The Oscopies.
The Oscopies.
Yeah, that's good.
They had a little fruit stand.
By
there,
the way, that's right. No, nobody bought anything.
No, they were like, "Ooh, that's their fruit smells like shit." By the way, that little it wasn't even a dig. It wasn't even a dig. And you tell Tony on Friday, I was just a little joke reference to the pictures. So that was, you know, that I hope he wasn't. That was a tiny little reference.
Listen, that's public knowledge, and Tony owned it, and we just got to assume he can take the odd little shot, eh? It's part of the humble...
But tell him when you see him, I wasn't trying to give him a shot. I was trying to make the connection between, well, that wasn't the worst picture that you've ever been in trouble for. I mean, come on.
I would call that giving the guy a little bit of a shot. Come on.
Not the way you've treated your neighbors, the Oscopies. That's a real shot.
But anyway, yeah. Oh no, you write in one of those emails, Tony. I'm very sorry.
No, I'm not.
This thing came up on the show, no. And I am sorry for what I said. And I didn't one of the, mean I, anything by it.
Yeah, I've got those already written.
You got about 15 variations. Yeah, I got a file. And change the name.
Just change the name. Dear, your name here. This thing I said, I didn't mean to say it. I offended you, and I apologize. I will try to be better.
Although, speaking of funny lines, just I keep thinking of it, that one that you delivered to me yesterday. I just, it made me laugh when I was talking about Grindr. And I, you know.
That's right. Let me see your phone.
Let me see your phone. I love that. I denied knowing anything about it. You said, bullshit. Let me see your phone.
Yeah. All right. Yeah. Anyway.
Isn't it funny sometimes those little subtle things that are... That are the funniest sometimes.
Mm. Well, anyway, I'm not sending Tony the apology form letter.
I'll apologize.
Yeah,
I'll
do that.
Apologize.
Yeah,
for
do
you
what you
life.
Normally do. Apologize for me. Okay. That's why the relationship works.
Fuck. My file's even bigger. The Anchorman's here. He's prone to falling off his chair. But he's got a big
wang, so he don't care. His voice is nice and low. My voice is nice and low.
And now, with Today in History, here's the Anchorman formerly known as N9VBDZ. It's Dan Duran.
Today is National Hagfish Day. Mm. To celebrate, take your hagfish for a walk. I don't know.
Facebook is planning to change the company name next week, according to The Verge.
What?
The rebrand would likely position the Facebook app as one of the many products under a parent company overseeing its groups like Instagram, WhatsApp, Oculus, and they've got some more stuff going on, too. Spokesman for Facebook declined to comment for the story, but they're talking about it. There has a lot to do with the metaverse. It's a name, by the way, closely guarded secret, might have something to do with its unreleased VR platform called Horizon Worlds, which they've been working on for a bunch of years. It's one of those places where you can wander around in a virtual world and, you know, do whatever you do in a virtual world. And Zuckerberg wants to highlight this new commitment to the metaverse, which I have no freaking idea what the metaverse was. What the hell is a metaverse?
I got to tell you, Dan, it's funny you brought that up because I saw that and I read it for the first time this past weekend. I saw it in an article. Maybe it was to do with Facebook or Apple. I don't know. But the phrase, the metaverse, and I was like, oh, here we are. We're on the verge of something amazing. Because I'll tell you.
I got lost in there. So what do you mean changing? They're not going to change the name of Facebook.
No, but they're going to. It's going to nest under another platform. It's going to be part of something else versus just a standalone app now.
I get it.
So remember when Google did, they broke things up into Alphabet or whatever, right? Maybe something along that line.
Hey, Dan, let me ask you a question. Yeah. When virtual reality sex is finally upon us, who will you be having sex, or what? What will you be having sex with virtually?
I can't even imagine. Yeah. How that would be any kind of, there'd be any kind of,
I think you're the kind of guy.
Satisfaction in that.
You're very adventuresome, you know. You'll probably put those VR, you know, that headset on, and I could see on the screen what you're doing. You're probably having sex with like an orangutan and a, I don't know. I just see you off being adventuresome.
Yeah. I can totally see myself putting on a VR headset and doing a little exploring, but I don't get the whole, you know, what you're talking about.
I agree. I've often thought about that whole virtual set. Like, it's like, where is, I don't get the satisfaction. Like, there's no connection or no communication, really.
Yeah,
like, you know, what's it all about? You might as well, as you said yesterday, Howard, stick your dick in a pillow.
All right. Did he say
that's
that
what you said?
I said
that's
that.
What you said.
That's what time you said. To write an apology letter to Dan Duran. Dear Dan. Dear Dan, once again, I'm sorry. I just suggest that you have sex with your own pillows.
Anyway. Well, to your point, Fred, just to make that part where you'd have to accessorize your VR headset with other, you know, devices to make things happen, I suppose. But
wait a second. First of all, you look at pornography, Dan. Yes, you do. Don't pretend you don't. So when you see it visually with your eyes, you know, you're getting stimulated. You're taking in stimulation. So with a VR situation, it's just happening in 3D. It's no different. Like, you don't sit there going,
I
don't really understand.
Characters and
what's
stuff.
That?
It's not real people.
Sure
it's
it
like
is.
It's a computer animated, you know, version of.
Okay.
Doesn't it come with sensation and everything? Like, I.
Well, no. You stick a battery cable to your wiener hole and.
whatever it takes.
Whatever it takes.
USB connector right up in
whatever
there.
That is, whatever that takes.
Yeah. Anyway, I'm looking
maybe
for the.
Maybe it's an age thing, too. Like, you know, when you're late teens or early 20s or something, you're willing to hop on anything. Wow.
Yeah. Well, I'm still willing to try it. I'm just trying technology. I'm looking for Tim Niblett right now. Where is he? Hey, Nibs. I'm going to say, hey, Nibs, right. Where are you at? That's why I wanted to get Dan on here. Anyway, Dan, thank you very much.
Oh, by the way, I did look up Metaverse because I was curious.
Mm-hmm. Thank you.
It comes originally from a sci-fi novelist named Neal Stephenson to describe a virtual world that people escape to from a dystopian real world. So it's a nicer world to be in than the one that they're in already.
Well, that's what happens every night when Daddy does his medicine. He escapes to the metaverse. Oh, here comes Tim. Thank you, Dan. You're a nice boy.
All right.
Enjoy your day.
I will.
And thanks for
a nice day today.
Thanks for your service to this country.
Once again, thank you, gentlemen. I'm now Dan Duran, no longer H9B.
Yeah, man. Right. It's good to have you back. Dan, good to have you back, my friend.
See you later.
And now it's time to welcome to our program, as always on Wednesdays, He is not only a supporter of this program, but now into year 11, one of our friends of the show, official, and a friend of ours personally. He is the retirement Sherpa, Tim.Niblett or RaymondJames.ca. He's got, are you in the office or is that background just of the office, of the logo?
I'm at home. That is our little Sherpa lounge that we finally started to use a little bit there. But yeah, just at home this morning.
Fantastic. Did you get a chance to play yesterday? It was beautiful. Are you playing today?
I'm playing today for sure. We got an unofficial Captain Pro Challenge. I'm playing with Tyler, which will be awesome.
Right.
And no, yesterday, thankfully, just super busy all day long. I started the day getting my pacemaker checked out, and I passed the audition, so that's always a good thing.
How do they do that? Do they just hook you up and make sure that the battery's charged, or what is the protocol for that?
Yeah, it's pretty wild, right? They put a few sensors on your chest there and put some unit right on top of it. And just measure, they can tell you how much AFib you've had and when it happened and how much the upper ventricle's pumping and how much it needs to kick in. And they try to adjust the, you know, energy usage. I got 9.3 years left, apparently.
Oh, really?
You know, Tim, I mean, on the whole thing about investing and wealth management and thinking of the future, I was reading an article the other day. I mean, this is a perfect example. You know, it's going to be dramatic over the next few years, the technology that's going to keep us alive. And again, having that in mind, you know, the Queen's 95, it's going to be common for people to live into their 90s, which means the whole spin on investment and
yeah,
the future has to be, you know, reworked or whatever. You know what I'm saying?
Oh, absolutely, right? I mean, we it all starts with the plan. We do the projections. Actually asked about yesterday. I started the day getting some new Humble and Fred listeners as clients and then ended the day with clients who moved us to kind of the Queensway Park Lawn area. They'd been in Mississauga, but they wanted to be closer to the action. Mm-hmm. And they've been clients for over 25 years, and their daughters are about 25 and doing fantastic. One's in Vancouver, one's in Brussels. So it was probably even better than golfing yesterday. It was an awesome, mm-hmm, awesome day. But yeah, you're right. You know, when we do the projections for people, the first thing we really need to know is how long they're going to live for and how long they're going to be active. You know, how long will you be able to travel if that's important to you? And we don't know the answers to those, do we?
Well, I was going to say, it's interesting you brought that up, Fred, because, you know, 30 years ago, even before the NIBs got into the business, remember, one of the big promotions in Canada, the big joke was Freedom 55. And the reason that 55 was the kind of demarcation of when you might start to enjoy your money is because at that time, 30 or 40 years ago, Canadians were only living to their mid-70s. So that gave you about 20 years of having to have your money continue to work for you. But Tim, with knowing what we know now about life expectancy, let's talk about today. What does money and wealth mean to the average person? And that's a good place to start a conversation with the retirement Sherpa, who happens to be with us today.
So in the good old days when I sold lots of shoes for Foot Locker, you know, you'd always talk about features and benefits, right? I mean, the features matter, but it's really the benefits. And so maybe this is just the same thing 40 years later, 45, whatever, you know, with money. But okay, you got this statement, you've got your portfolio, you got your RSP, your TFSA, but you know, what matters to you? What do you want to have money to go to Italy with GFR? Do you want to, you know, have a vacation kind of property? You know, there's all kinds of different, money's just about options as far as I'm concerned. So what options matter to you? What priorities matter to you?
Yeah. And it's a tough one because it's on different levels for different people, right? When you're making your plan, for some people, it's realistic to build in like the fun and the leisure and the extra property. And then other people, it's just basically getting by based on what their history is.
Right. Absolutely. And you know, if you've got kids, some of them might need help, of course, with the education. Mm. You got your RESP and different ways to make that happen. Certainly here in the GTA, the good news is we got lots of equity in our homes. The bad news is our kids have a little challenge getting into the market at times.
Right.
So
yeah.
That could be something that's important to people. Maybe they put a little less into the RRSP and pile up some cash in a TFSA or others so they can help the kids with a down payment.
Yeah, that whole mindset of legacy, I think, has changed over the years. I think my parents, you know, their attitude was, I did it on my own, you do it on your own. But it was realistic.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Owning a home was... It was realistic. It was only a certain percentage of your income or whatever, the way it worked. Where now, I think parents look and say, you know, it's so out of reach that, yeah, part of my plan is helping, is going to be helping these people do what I did. Have a freaking home.
Well, and that's where planning comes into play. When Tim's talking to you, it's not just about, you know, salvaging the remainders of your life, but also helping to put away some money so that there will be a legacy, a benefit, and a foundation. Maybe talk a little bit about that, Timmy.
Right. So, you know, well, again, the people I was with yesterday, and this isn't uncommon, we've got it. Many people have got it. There's a lot of equity in people's homes, right? So do you want to die with $1.5 million in home equity or whatever? Is that a goal? Probably not. It's a little more fun to enjoy it along the way. But sure, do you want to make donations? Do you want to set up a foundation? Legacy can certainly be through kids or grandkids or whatever, and all more and more people seem to be choosing to not wait until they die to make the family's life better, but to, again, with the houses we talked about, even grandkids' education, helping out with that, or having family cruises together so you can all enjoy the money while you're all alive. So legacies certainly don't have to happen after we've passed. They can get created and furthered while we're still kicking.
And the point of all of this is conversations with someone like Tim. The reason we call him and he calls himself the retirement Sherpa is the idea is to shepherd you or Sherpa you through all the various sundry concepts that you may not have thought of. Some of this stuff might be familiar to you. The idea, though, is to take advantage of Tim. Yes, take advantage of him. Come on now. Don't be nasty.
Bring it on.
Don't be nasty. Tim.Niblett at RaymondJames.ca. Get the conversation started. And like a lot of Humble and Fred supporters, friends, and fans, take advantage of his experience and gain by his knowledge. All right. That's all I have to say about that, Tim.
How do you like
something,
that, Tim?
Something I learned this week, you know, Dan Patrick has what I learned today at the end of his syndicated sports show. I learned I don't want Donald Trump to write my legacy or my eulogy. That's something I
learned. Oh, you learned that, did you?
Yes.
Yeah. Why? Because of all the great things he said about Colin Powell? Is that what you're talking about?
That one. Yeah, yeah, exactly. One.
Yeah, we really haven't had any time for Trump, although there's been some good Trump stuff. The denial of, like, he's in the middle of a speech this past weekend, and out of nowhere, he's like, starts talking about being peed on by Russian whores. it's just the best. All right, Timmy, we got to run. Thanks very much. Tim.Niblett at RaymondJames.ca. We will look. I'll see you. You'll be there before me. I'll see your signature vehicle.
Sounds awesome. Enjoy and profit all. Great seeing you guys.
Okay, pal. See you later.
All right, Timmy. See you next Wednesday. And everyone else, thank you very much. What's that, Friedry?
No, I was just going to say, you know, unless the Democrats come up, and I don't think it's Kamala Harris, and it's definitely not Joe Biden, they better come up with some kind of a star, because if they don't, get your head around it, brother.
I know. He's back.
He's coming back in 2024.
He's coming back. And and by the way, for you people that are afraid of the Hitler comparisons, they're coming back, too. Tomorrow on the show, Alan Cross will be our guest. And we'll be here as well. Now here's Phil.
This episode of Humble and Fred is brought to you by the Retirement Sherpa, Dick Sky, the Chambers Plan, Healthgate, Bodog, and our newest sponsor, Dewar, D-U-E-R, the world's most comfortable pants. We stream to the planet from the remote headquarters of the Humble and Fred Show. More Humble and Fred tomorrow and online at humbleandfred.com.